Welcome to Labor Vision. I'm your host, Autumn Guyot. Today we are in person at the Rhode Island AFL-CIO offices. And with me today from Climate Jobs Rhode Island are Erica Hammond, our lead organizer, Mike Rolls, the policy director, and Aislinn Hanley, the energy fellow. So thank you guys so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us.
I'm really excited to have you on and talk a little bit about what's going on with Climate Jobs Rhode Island. So I guess the big thing is what have you done so far? How was 2022?
It was a really good year.
Yeah, we had some really big victories in 2022 at the thanks to our coalition. And I don't know if, Mike, you'd like to start off with kind of our three big victories that there were in the legislative session?
Yeah, we had a lot of victories, but we had the big three, as we like to call them. One was the main priority coming in. On day one, I was handed a piece of legislation and I was told, this is what we want to mirror. We got it done. What it does is it requires strong labor standards in renewable energy projects that are 3 megawatts or more. It includes labor peace agreement requirements, and it also includes pathways for apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship opportunities so that folks who do not have access right now to the workforce are able to kind of get the skills they need to get into the trade. So it's a way to expand opportunities for people who need the most in the climate transition. So that was one of our big victories. The second one is the Renewable Energy Standard Bill. So it requires our electricity to go 100% sourced by renewable energy by 2033. And then the third one was an offshore wind procurement bill where the state is entering a contract to get 600 to 1,000 megawatts of offshore wind. And they're currently out to bid right now with a RFP for offshore wind developers. So, big deal. If we're going to meet our 100% RES, we got to get a lot of offshore wind.
Absolutely.
That's step one.
Wow. So, that was some very exciting work, and I'm sure that you're going to be carrying, especially with trying to meet your RES goals, carrying a lot of that into this year. I want to kind of skip ahead to see, like, what is on deck in 2023 that will help us with these renewable energy standards?
Don't talk about green and healthy schools.
Yeah. So we are revisiting the Green and Healthy Schools campaign, which was our first campaign that we launched back in 2022. The goal of that campaign is to transition all public K through 12 schools to net zero by a specific date, the date that we have in this piece of legislation, which Mike will cover a little bit more, some of those components, is to get all schools transitioned to net zero by 2035. So we're going to be revisiting that campaign. We had a major victory last year with the school construction bond that passed, which is incredibly important because, as many people know, a number of our schools are in desperate need of repair. But it did not include some of those really, really important components of energy efficiency and net zero ready pathways for schools. So we're going to revisit that even stronger and kind of not necessarily rebuild, but extend our outreach on that campaign and bring in some more really important folks to that table, whether it be teachers, environmental green clubs, student organizations, additional community organizations interested in this campaign, and just kind of build out that network of folks who are really interested in that work.
Mm-hmm. So Climate Jobs is a coalition, and you've been able to, through campaigns like this and other projects, really expand. And I've noticed, because Aislinn is here, that you've also been able to bring on an energy fellow with Climate Jobs specifically, and I know there are others within the Environmental Justice Network. But I'm curious about some of the work that you will be doing this year.
Yeah, so as an energy fellow, I will mostly be tracking federal funding opportunities through the IRA and IIJA. Also tracking just state legislation and, you know, just staying on top of that as well. Going forward, I'll be looking at different states' practices at our own programs and seeing what can be improved with this funding, kind of helping create best practices to implement in Rhode Island and help achieve the goals that Climate Jobs has set. And then eventually, probably around December, hopefully be writing a white page memo about my findings, sharing that with stakeholders and just collaborating with the coalition as a whole and to see what we can do to improve things.
Exciting, yeah. I mean, there's just so much information out there that nationally and within Rhode Island that we all need to find ways to sort of better communicate and get all that in one place.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's very overwhelming. And that's why Aislinn's work is going to be so important.
Yeah.
There's so much money coming out from the federal government. We want to make sure Rhode Island doesn't leave a dime on the table. I know we're going to talk about this at the next episode, but I did just want to say, like, that's why Aislinn's work is going to be really important, because we're going to be able to at least, like, know what's coming down the pike and reaching out to stakeholders about opportunities, especially as they intersect with climate action. And then the other piece that I'm really excited about that Aislinn's going to be focusing on is this white paper. It's sort of the capstone of the work she's doing
Absolutely.
With us, and tracking sort of the kind of the way our general laws exist now and kind of what we need to tweak to make sure that we're able to better implement or act on climate goals.
That's all really super exciting. I know that you have a few other things on deck for this year. One of them is lead pipes, right? Replacing the lead pipes in Rhode Island. Erica, would you be able to speak a little bit more on that?
Yeah, so this is another piece of legislation that we're revisiting from last year. It had passed the Senate last year. It hadn't gotten out of the House last year, so it's coming back. And what this legislation does is it would require that all lead service lines get replaced throughout the state at no cost to the homeowners. So there's a number of, as many folks know, lead in our water, lead has detrimental effects for families, specifically thinking about younger kids, but really the impact is across the board really significant. And we still in Rhode Island have a significant number of lead service lines. So what is the process that the state is going to take to really utilize both the federal funds coming in and funds that have already come in that work to address this issue? And how do we do it in a way that's efficient, equitable? How are we really focusing on the communities that have the highest number of lead service lines in their communities and really looking at those first because they're experiencing the worst impacts of this right now? And also, how are we doing it in a way that all of the jobs that are going to be coming from this infrastructure work and from removing these lead service lines, how are we making sure it's going to good union jobs and we're uplifting communities in that process? Because it's a lot of work.
Well, Michael, you hinted that we're going to have climate jobs on a couple of more times to go over all of the work that you all are doing. I wanted to start with a baseline and catch up because I think it's been a year since climate jobs has been on Labor Vision. But some topics that we're going to cover next, we want to do a deep dive on the infrastructure recovery or
Inflation Reduction Act.
Inflation, thank you.
And then
the
just
IRA.
Call, and then the
I know.
Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, too.
Though. Yeah, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. And that's why we need to do a deep dive because the acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also hoping to go a little bit more into the Green and Healthy Schools campaign and how we can update our school buildings so that they service every part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited for everything that we've got coming in this year. So if you want to learn more, as always, you can like and subscribe to our channel on Labor Vision. You can find us at laborvisionri.org and like us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Before we close, though, is there anything else you guys want to add?
The only additional thing I would like to add is climate jobs, although it is not incredibly active on social media right now, we are going to be more active in this year. So we do have Instagram and Twitter as well. It's just Climate Jobs RI. So you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We're also on Facebook, but please follow
us. I will include all of the links and the handles in the show notes and on our posts. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Labor Vision. We appreciate your input and encourage your comments. Labor Vision can be seen on this channel 3 times each week, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Thursday at 8 p.m., and Saturday at 5 p.m.